Well, today we're starting kind of a new study called Jonah, the prophet Jonah. How many here know about the prophet Jonah in the Old Testament? We're beginning this study on Jonah. All right, don't know if anybody here has ever read the book of Jonah. It's a short book. It's only four chapters long. And the subtitle is To Obey or Not to Obey. To Obey or Not to Obey. Now, if you read the first chapter of Jonah, friends, and you know, in your spare time, I would encourage you to read the entire four chapters. If you read the first chapter of Jonah, God gave Jonah a mandate. And he said, Jonah, go to the great city of Nineveh, Jonah 1:2, and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. So God was mandating the prophet Jonah to preach a message of repentance to the nation of Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a nation that was stuck in great sin and rebellion. And God was telling him, you need to preach to this nation to turn from their wicked ways and to turn back to me. And so God gave him the mandate. He gave him the order. And in verse 3 of Jonah chapter 1, we find out that Jonah decided to do his own thing. Instead of going to Nineveh, Jonah goes the opposite direction towards Tarshish. So what did he do? He disobeyed. And because of his disobedience, something bad happened. There was a negative consequence, as we find out in Jonah chapter 1, verse 4. It says, then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. As a result of his disobedience, there was a storm that arose on the seas. And the sailors were trying to figure out who caused this storm. And they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And the sea was getting rougher and rougher. And Jonah basically said in verse 12, pick me up and throw me into the sea. It will become calm. And so they picked him up and they threw him into the sea. And pretty much the storm subsided. And God provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. So why did Jonah find himself in the belly of the whale? Why did he find himself in the belly of the whale? Because of his disobedience. And friends, I'm here to tell you today that there are negative consequences for disobedience to God. There are negative consequences for disobedience to God. And Jonah's negative consequence for his disobedience to God was that he was stuck in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. And could you imagine what it must have been like in the belly of the fish, in the belly of the whale? It was probably seaweed in that belly just swishing and going back and forth. It probably smelled nasty. You know, he probably was sweating because it was so humid in there. And according to Jonah chapter 2, it seems that Jonah probably thought that he was going to lose his life. That he was going to lose his life. And so my question to you today is this. What is it that God is telling you to do today? Or what has God told you to do in the past? That's it. What is it that God is telling you to do today, or what is it that God has told you to do in the past? What is it that God has told you to do? Has God told you to go to a certain city and maybe you didn't do it? Has God told you maybe to be involved in a relationship with a certain someone and maybe you didn't do it? Maybe God has been talking to you about getting into His written word on a more consistent basis. You know, maybe God has told you to go down a certain educational path, or maybe to apply for a certain job. Maybe God is telling you to write that note or give that someone a phone call to make contact with them. What is it, possibly, that God has called you, has told you to do?
Right.
What is it that God has told you to do? Or what is it that God is telling you to do today? And I'm here to tell you today, friend, that if God has told you to do something or God is telling you to do something and you disobey and you do your will instead, there is going to be negative consequences in your life. Because what you're saying basically is, God, I'm walking in rebellion. I'm walking in disobedience. I'm walking in what I want to do. Basically, what you're saying is the opposite of what Jesus said in the garden. You're saying, my kingdom come, my will be done, not yours, God. But the obedient person says what instead? The obedient person says to God, God, your kingdom come. God, your will be done and my will be put aside. Amen? Because if your will is number one, if you're doing what you want to do, if you're in the driver's seat of your own life, friends, it's going to be a rough and rocky road. You may end up finding yourself in the belly of some type of whale. Or maybe today you're in the belly of some type of whale. A storm that has hit your life. And you don't know how to get out. And I'm here to tell you today, friends, that there is a way to get out. And the way to get out is by obeying God. Because He's a God that does not give up on us. He's not the God of three strikes and you're out. He is the God of another chance. He wants to rescue you from your tough situation, but you've got to do what He's telling you to do. If you do what you want to do and not what God is telling you to do, you're walking in rebellion to God. And that's exactly what Jonah did. He was walking in rebellion to God because he was doing his own will. He wasn't doing God's will. So if you read Jonah chapter 2, you find out that he's stuck in the belly of the whale. He cries out to God and he humbles himself. And he says in Jonah 2:9, he says, what I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And here was the deliverance because he humbled himself. And the Lord commanded the fish and it vomited Jonah unto dry land because he decided to obey. And then the word of the Lord in Jonah 3:1 came to Jonah a second time. And he said again, go to Nineveh and preach to that nation. You see, God did not give up on Jonah. He gave him a second opportunity to preach repentance to the nation of Nineveh. And this time, Jonah, he learned his lesson. This time, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord. And he went to Nineveh and preached repentance. Amen? Okay, so here's the next question for us today. How do we obey God? How do we go about obeying what God is telling you and me to do? How do we go about obeying what God is telling us to do? First and foremost. There could be several options in front of you. You know, you might be thinking about, God, do I stay in Tulsa or do I move to Dallas? You know, God, do I marry Sally or do I marry Jane? You know, God, do I take this job offer or do I take that job offer? So there's going to be options that are presented to you. Would you agree today? Options. And your own human mind might be telling you, man, it's good to marry Jane, or it's good to take this job opportunity, or it might be good to move to Dallas. And you're thinking in your own mind, you're thinking, man, this sounds like a really good idea. Yeah, I might just end up moving to Dallas. It's a new city. It's a new start. I may just end up marrying Jane. I may just end up taking this job opportunity at the BOK Center instead of this other job opportunity. So you might be thinking inside yourself, man, this sounds like a good idea. But friends, I'm here to tell you today that good is the enemy of best. If you end up doing what your mind is telling you to do, you'll end up doing only the good thing. But if you end up doing what God is telling you to do, you'll end up doing the best thing for your life. So how do you go about finding out what it is that God is wanting you to do? How do you go about fulfilling God's perfect will for your life instead of your own will for your life. You say that again. How do you go about doing the God thing for your life, the best thing for your life, instead of only the good thing, what you think is right for your life? How do you go about doing that? Number one, that's it. I hear the brother saying it. Pray. First and foremost, and I've learned this lesson myself in some very difficult ways, you need to seek the face of God. You need to seek the face of God in prayer. Friend, if you walk into a situation without seeking God's will, you might be walking rebelliously. If you walk into a situation in your life without seeking the face of God and seeking God's input on it, you are walking rebelliously and in disobedience. And the consequences are going to be really negative. Your mind might be telling you, it's a good idea to move to Baton Rouge, or it's a good idea to move to Dallas, it's a good idea to move to Los Angeles, but God may be saying, no, that's not what I'm wanting you to do, if you're seeking His face. But if you just step out and do what you think is good, moving to Dallas or marrying this person or taking this job, it's a good thing, it looks so good, man, it's going to provide me with so much income in the future. Guess what? You don't foresee. You can't foresee right now the negative repercussions of that bad decision that you made without consulting God first. So number one, consult God. Ask God, God, what is it that you're wanting me to do? Now let me give you a story from my own life. I had been doing a lot of missionary work in the country of India for many years. And 2006, you know, I believe that God had called me to the nations to preach the gospel, to preach His word. In 2006, you know, I started thinking, man, I want to go beyond India. I've been to so many countries, the Philippines, India. I want to go just beyond India, and I want to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to another nation. And there was this ministry that a friend of mine had introduced me to, and they do a lot of work in the nation of China, Hong Kong, and some other closed nations, and pretty much teaching English as a second language. And so I thought, man, you know, I've been in India, I've been in the Philippines, I've been to other nations in the past. Man, I just feel like I want to go to China or Hong Kong and bring the gospel to that nation. So without seeking the face of God on that situation, guess what I did? I contacted that organization. Contacted that organization and pretty much applied. They accepted me. And I paid my monies, and I ended up meeting in California with the organization for training for a few days. Met my team of 18 to 21 years old, and we were going to go to the nation of Hong Kong. And it felt good. I was in California. How many here know that California is a really pretty state? And we're there in California training for this trip. And there was many other group leaders, like, you know, team leaders like myself that had groups of their own 18 to 21 year olds. So it seemed to me like to be a really good idea, and man, I had gone through training, and we're flying to Hong Kong, and certain things started happening. I started being struck with fear concerning certain situations, and to make a long story short, the whole missions trip turned out to be a fiasco. It was about a four-week trip with this young team of 18 to 21-year-olds, and they had constant complaints about me. And, you know, Jonathan is not helping us with our lesson plans for the next day, and I was doing so much. I was protecting them. I was looking over them. I was pretty much babysitting them. I was keeping an eye on them continuously, and they had complaints. And I hate to say it, but pretty much these 18 to 21-year-olds that I had under me, 10 or 11 of them, pretty much they through a series of events, one of the leaders was contacted, and they said, you know what, I think Jonathan just needs to go, you know, early. I was in there for 2 weeks. I said, are you guys sure? So I was there for 2 weeks, and instead of staying there for the full 4 weeks, the organization said, you can stay, Jonathan, if you want, but these students, you know, they're wanting you to go early. So, friends, let me tell you, it was the most humbling situation of my life, where I had to leave this area prematurely. So humbled. I came back to the United States. I was humbled here in the United States. I felt rejected. I went into depression for a month and a half. Thought that God was mad at me, and, you know, I just didn't want to get up in the morning. I didn't want to hang around people. I didn't even want to eat. I went into severe and deep depression. And after that incident, I thought about it, I prayed about it, and I believe what God laid on my heart was this: Jonathan, you applied to this organization, you got involved with this organization without even consulting me. In your mind, Jonathan, it was a good idea, but it wasn't really a God idea. So I went with a good idea. Man, I could bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to Hong Kong. It sounded good. But it wasn't a God thing for my life at that time. And because I did the good thing without consulting and seeking the face of God, I was booted out of that country 2 weeks prematurely. And it caused me a lot of humiliation. It caused me a lot of depression. I felt highly rejected. And you know what? That humiliation, that rejection, the depression could have been avoided if I did what at the start? If I just did what? If I prayed and just sought the face of God, saying, God, is this what you're wanting me to do? Are you wanting me to go to Hong Kong at this time? Had I sought the face of God, I probably would have heard God saying, no, not at this time. And it would have saved me that money, the trouble, the depression, the humiliation. Friends, I have been there before. I have been where Jonah was. And there's going to be opportunities in your life to be in that very same spot. You're presented with options, with choices, with things that look like a good idea. Are you just going to go after it and pursue it because it's a good idea, a good thing, a good thought? Or will you pursue the heart and the mind of God first and foremost, saying, God, what is it that you're wanting me to do? Amen? Amen. You agree with that today? God is good all the time. Amen? Amen? And like I said, you'll end up doing just your own good thing and not the God thing if you don't seek His face. And it's going to cause you some negative repercussions. I want to give you another example here. A friend of mine, years ago, 10, 11 years ago, was getting married. And he was getting married to this girl. And he said that he sensed from God that God was telling him to hold off the marriage, to put it on indefinite hold, not to get married right now. They were only just probably weeks away from the marriage, from the wedding. And he was sensing that they should not go through with it. All right? And he says, Jonathan, you know, the invitations were out, the money was spent, things were in the process, I guess people were coming into town, and he said, you know what, I heard God, you see, and maybe he was seeking the face of God, I don't know, but he sensed on the inside that God was telling him to put the thing on hold, to put the marriage on hold. And guess what he did? He got married anyway. Disobeyed. And he said that, he told me the story, he said that he actually threw up on his wedding day. Because most likely he was probably having a bad gut feeling about the whole thing. See what I'm saying? He's having a bad gut feeling about the entire situation. So he threw up. And you know what he told me after that? He said, Jonathan, we went ahead with the marriage, and he said, let me tell you. He said, Jonathan, the last 10 years of my marriage have been hell. The last 10 years of marriage were hell. They've worked through a lot of situations, and they've gotten better, and they flexed, you know, together. But he said, the last 10 years have really been hellish in the marriage. I was like, wow. God spoke to him and told him to hold off on the marriage. He says he would have held off another 3 to 5 years if he had known what he was going through. God was speaking to him, telling him to hold. And what did he do? He disobeyed and did the good thing, his own will. And he paid the price for it. There's so many instances like that out there, friends, where God is speaking to people. God is telling people, don't do this, do this, don't go down that road, go down this road. And out of rebellion, out of pride, people end up doing their own thing and end up paying a high price for it. Do you want to find yourself in a hellish situation on this earth? No, right? Then start consulting God, start praying to God, start opening the Word and saying, God, what is it that you're wanting me to do? God, what is the God thing for my life? And you may be in a hellish situation right now. It may be tough and dark and difficult for you right now in your life. Right now it's probably tough. It's difficult. Friends? And could it be that you may be in the situation that you're in today based on some pretty bad decisions? It very well could be that you maybe made some very bad decisions in the past. But just like God gave Jonah a second chance to preach repentance to Nineveh, God wants to give you another chance to obey what He's telling you to do. He's giving you another chance to walk humbly and to walk out of your rebellion. And just to say, God, I put my hands up. God, I surrender to what You're wanting me to do. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in my life as it has been preordained in heaven. Amen? Amen. Jesus, in the garden, I think I mentioned this earlier, He wanted to give up. He really wanted to give up. Would you agree? He wanted to give up and kept saying, and didn't want to do it because he was going to face the cross. He was going to face the cross. You can look at this in Matthew chapter 26. It was difficult to do. But He knew, because He sought the face of the Father, He knew that it was God's will for Him to go to the cross. Amen? What did He say? He said, not my will, but Your will be done in my life. And because he obeyed God, the repercussions, the consequences, instead of being negative, were so positive. Amen? He eventually ascended and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Not only that, but guess what? There are so many people in the kingdom of God, so many people in heaven today that would not have been there had Jesus not gone to the cross and obeyed God. That's awesome, isn't it? And so that's the flip side of this message. That's the flip side, is that if you obey and do what God is telling you to do, whatever that is for you, if you seek His face and you've heard His voice, and you do what He's telling you to do, if you do it, the consequences will be positive. You will be blessed supernaturally, abundantly, in ways that you never thought nor imagined. Amen? Amen. Isaiah chapter 1. You got a Bible. Isaiah chapter 1 says this. In verse 19. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. Say this, if you're willing to hear the voice of God and you are obedient to His voice, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. If you're willing and obedient to do what God is telling you to do, you will eat the best of the land. I don't know what your land is. Your land might be finances. It might be relationship. It might be emotions. It might be a job situation. If you're willing and obedient to what God is telling you to do, you will eat the best financially. You will eat the best in your emotions. Your sorrows will be turned into joy. You will eat the best concerning where God is wanting you to live. You will eat the best concerning the relationship that God is wanting you in. Amen? But if you resist and rebel and do what you want to do instead of what God is wanting you to do, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. What is he saying? He's saying if you disobey what God is telling you to do, the consequences will be very rough and negative in your life. Amen? Amen? Let's humble our hearts before the Almighty God and say, God, Jesus, I have been in the driver's seat of my own life. But Jesus, right now, I am putting You in the driver's seat of my life. Amen?